The Oklahoma legislature is considering a $1.50 tax increase per pack of cigarettes. The proposal is being greeted by healthcare providers and child advocacy groups. As part of our weekly conversation about business in the state, KGOU's Jacob McClellan spoke to the Journal Record Sarah Terry Kobo about what the increase could mean for Oklahoma.
Sarah, it isn't surprising that healthcare providers are in favor of the cigarette tax increase. Smoking is Oklahoma's leading cause of preventable death, after all. Why are child advocacy groups behind this proposal?
Well, Jacob, it could prevent about 28,000 children from picking up the habit just from raising cigarette prices. Another reason is that part of the money will fund agencies that support children, including health insurance. There are about 7% of Oklahoma children who do not have health insurance.
Now, in your story on this topic, you mentioned this bill by State Representative Leslie Osborne would send that tax revenue to state agencies that rely on matching federal health care dollars. What are those agencies?
So that's the Medicaid agency, the Oklahoma Health Care Authority, and that provides health insurance for children and low-income folks, but it also could include Indian Health Services as well.
You spoke with Nico Gomez in your story. He pushed for similar legislation last year when he was the head of the Oklahoma Healthcare Authority. Now he leads the Oklahoma Association of Healthcare Providers, which advocates for nursing homes. How would the tax increase help nursing home patients?
So it's interesting, Jacob. About 70% of all nursing home residents rely on Medicaid, and federal money has been declining since at least 2010. And so because of inflation, it means it's more expensive to care for elderly people. So nursing homes face the real possibility of closing, and that could help stop the provider rate cuts and maybe even give them a boost.
Would the tobacco tax be a long-term solution for Oklahoma's healthcare funding, or is this just one step in that direction?
Well, Nico Gomez says this is not a long-term solution, but it's the most politically viable one. We hear time and time again from hospitals to mental health care providers that not expanding Medicaid did so much harm to the poorest and the most vulnerable here in the state. But expanding Medicaid is just a non-starter for so many Republicans here.
Now, Sarah, I want to talk about another story that you wrote this week. This one is about franchises that cater to kids with special needs. What kinds of businesses did you find?
Well, it's pretty cool. One is called We Rock the Spectrum Gym, and it is a play place filled with trampolines, swings, slides, and a zip line. All of that is occupational therapy equipment, and it's all padded and really colorful.
How does this business differentiate itself from similar businesses that don't necessarily cater to kids with special needs?
Well, they won't kick you out if your kid has a tantrum. So children on the autism spectrum or who have sensory processing disorders can get overwhelmed and just have a meltdown. But here, they have a place where kids can go and calm down. They're not going to kick you out. There's just a general sense that all children are welcome here.
Are specialists such as therapists, are they often on site at these types of businesses?
They can be. Franchisees for We Rock the Spectrum must either have a child who has special needs, or they must work in the therapy profession like speech, occupational, or physical therapy. In this local instance, the woman who owns it, her daughter has a sensory processing disorder.
Are these types of businesses a growing trend across the United States right now?
It really seems to be, and this franchise in particular is really growing. She started the franchise in 2013, and now there are more than 60 franchises across the United States, and there are 26 under construction. So this is definitely an investment area for businesses looking to help kids with special needs.
We've been talking with Sarah Terry Kobo. She's the digital editor for the Journal Record newspaper. Sarah, thank you so much for your time.
Glad to be here. Thanks, Jacob.
KGOU and the Journal Record collaborate each week on the Business Intelligence Report. You can find this conversation archived at kgou.org. You can also find it on social media. We're on Facebook and Twitter at Journal Record and at KGOU News. This is KGOU.